I want to talk a bit about Joab. It seems to me that the biblical record is an invitation for us to enter into dialogue with God. It's an invitation for us to reflect upon his word. That's why there's a lot of stuff that is not altogether clear, intentionally so. That's why a lot of material in the text is inviting us to put it together and to think about it and to see what conclusion we come to. I think, did Jephthah kill his daughter? That's a typical one. And I think the character of Joab is another one. You can put a load of evidence on one side that he was a man of faith who was genuinely motivated, or you could put on the other side he was a man who simply thought in absolutely hard secular terms, and although he was loyal to David, David was right to order his death in the end. You try to put these two together. Well, let's try to do that, and you'll see what I mean when I say that the scriptures in this sense, and I'm not saying that there is not absolute truth taught in the scriptures, there is. There's a lot of things in the Bible, and a lot of these characters, I think, we're invited to not judge, but to put the bits of evidence together and see if we can make a fuller picture, because all these sort of disparate strands of evidence are the sort of things you could pick up in your life and mine. Of course, God is the judge, not man. But we see in all these biographies something of ourselves. So you start off really with Joab as the son of Zeruiah, who was a woman, you can work out, and actually a relative of David. So they would have grown up together, possibly, and certainly would have known each other because they were relatives. It really sort of hits the record in 2 Samuel 2, where the supporters of Saul meet with the supporters of David, and 12 young men from each side go and fight each other, and they all have, in this duel that they fight, they all fall down dead at the same moment. And of course, the point is that conflict against brethren is lose-lose. Everybody loses. That's the idea. And yet, Joab is in that. And you could say that, well, that's an example of Joab sort of trusting in human strength, or maybe you could say he learnt by it. But as the record goes on, you've got at least three times, 2 Samuel 3, 2 Samuel 16, 2 Samuel 19, where David's grace is sort of pitted against Absalom's secular wisdom. David showed huge grace after Saul died, and he really wanted to pour out grace upon everybody, upon the house of Saul, upon everybody. And, of course, Joab takes a more hard sort of view of that. He kills Abner and so forth when David wants to show grace to him. And it's the same with the events around the later rebellions, particularly around the rebellion of Absalom, when Absalom dies. David is so upset about that, and yet Joab is, you know, quite, we sort of feel with Joab when he says, it seems it were better for you that we all died and your big enemy lived, rather than the way it is. Get yourself together. And we sort of see Joab's point of view from a secular point of view. So you wonder then, well, was he just a hard man, and presents David as the soft man, because, you know, he says, you sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me, and hard there means just that, you're hard, as if I'm soft. Well, was David soft? Yes and no. He did definitely have a big sense of grace and kindness and forgiveness, particularly the way he spared Saul's life. And yet he also was forbidden building the temple because he was a man of blood, because he clearly did not value the human person and just killed people left, right and centre, you know. He needed 100 foreskins of the Philistines, so he goes and kills 200. I mean, he's treating people like they're not even animals. and he really had no compunction about murdering people. As I say, he was criticized for this, for simply shedding much blood and being so bloodthirsty that the guy was unfit to build the temple. Now, you know, was he a softy? Well, yeah, yes and no. I think he oscillated. But other times when he's feeling soft, like towards the family of Saul or towards Absalom, then he is contrasted against the hard, secular sort of wisdom of Joab. So Joab is set up like as the fall guy, to, as it were, bring out the contrast between secular wisdom and an attempt to live influenced by God's grace, which we see in David. So he may be used in that sense in the narrative. But then, starting to think about the other side, the cards you'd play on the other side, you learn in, the side that he actually had a spiritual side to him. You read in 1 Chronicles 26, verse 28, that Joab dedicated things to the temple. Anyone who was a military person like himself in those days would have easily made himself wealthy from all this, but he doesn't. And when he dies, he's buried in his house in the wilderness, as if he, he lived out in the sticks and didn't have a great palace. And he gave some of the things that he had captured in his battles to God. You then come to this conflict with the Ammonites in 2 Samuel 10. And he says to his brother, "If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you'll help me. But if the children of Ammon are too strong for you, then I'll come and help you." And he's playing on the name Hadadezer, who's the leader of the Ammonites, which means, that's in 2 Samuel 10, 16, which means helped by Hadad. Or helper of Hadad, and the idea is the sun god. Well, we might have thought that, he's saying, well, these guys who think they're helped by the sun god, if they get a bit strong, well, I'll come and help you. You'd have thought he might really have alluded to God being the helper of his people. But then he says in verse 12 of chapter 10, he says, "Be courageous, let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and Yahweh do that which seems good to him." So you could say that he was motivated by doing good for his people, his community. And he is very courageous in this particular battle with the Ammonites in particular. It's quite a feat of victory against huge odds. And he was courageous, but he says, "We will do this for our people and for our cities." And yes, he does bring God into it. And yet he says, Yahweh do what seems good to him. Well, how can you read that? You could read it as fatalism, saying, yeah, well, God's going to do what he wants anyway, and so it shall be, guys. Or he could be saying, may God be on our side and do that which is good. And God apparently was. And so you come then to the end of his life, and he does support Absalom, and he does support Adonijah in trying to be king. And yet you wonder whether that was because he actually thought David was old and past it, and that David was getting absolutely too weak-minded in his judgment and too obsessed with Solomon. And in a sense, he was right, because Solomon, in the end, as we know, was not the good choice, that Solomon turned away from God, etc. And you sort of wonder at his motivation. Why did he support Absalom? Why did he support Adonijah? Maybe because he really did think that they genuinely would be the better bet for Israel than David. An old David. David in his old age, when he's obsessed with the temple, he's obsessed with Solomon, and he's not apparently thinking straight. But you don't know. All you do notice, though, is that he would have been really the logical leader, but he never pretends to the throne. He never tries to become king himself, and I think that, weighs on the plus side for him. So, as I said to start with, you can't come to a conclusion about Joab, for sure, but you are invited consciously by the record, as you get familiar with it all, to put it all together and to try to get a closer picture of the person. I think, whilst I cannot judge finally one way or the other, I would say, particularly weighting pretty heavily the fact that he never seeks to be king himself but wants to keep the Davidic line on the throne, I would say that he was religious rather than spiritual. That, yes, let us go and be courageous and risk our lives for our people and for our cities, and may Yahweh do what he wants. In other words, he fought very bravely for the structure of the external structure of God's people, external structure of religion. And yet I'm afraid real spirituality was far from him. He is set up as the foil against David's grace. He is set up as the embodiment of secular wisdom. And the voice of logical reason in comparison with David's apparently senseless grace towards Absalom and towards the house of Saul. And I do think that his murder at the end was far too cruel for a man who'd done all he had done for David. I really think that that was a big sin by David to order his death, and for David and Solomon to despise him, clinging on to for Solomon to despise him clinging on to the horns of the altar, they just tell Benaiah to go and kill him there. There was something wrong there. This was a very, very wrong bit of behaviour by Solomon and by David, wishing Joab basically to be killed and basically telling Solomon to go and kill Joab. This wasn't right. And so, as I say, I think Joab in the end ends up the person who got on the wrong side of the politics, but then he was a politician rather than a spiritual person. He did run out of political highway at the end, but he had not been spiritual. And he was religious, but not spiritual. He was all into fighting courageously for the cities of our God and for our people. And let God do whatever is going to happen, I suppose God will make happen. That is a bit less than real personal faith. And sure, he was generous to the temple, he dedicated money to the treasury, dedicated what he'd taken in war to the treasury, that's a good thing. But as I say, it is the stuff of religion rather than spirituality. And I think, summing up, that is our challenge. You can find people who are very zealous for what colour should the church hall be painted, and what sort of furniture should we have within it, and what time should we start the evening meetings. Very zealous for all these external things of their religion, and may sacrifice materially greatly for these things. But beyond that, it would appear, and sometimes on their own admission, that there is a huge spiritual void. And we've got to be careful of that ourselves, very careful. Because I think that is the abiding temptation of our age, to be religious rather than truly spiritual, as I believe in the end David was, but Solomon and Joab weren't.